join us right at this moment to talk about what's going on in the world of the markets. Of course, he is Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital. Peter, good morning. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, talk to me. What's your sense for what's going on this week, sir?
Well, you know, the market is continuing to rally, and I think there were several reasons for this. The one thing is we have options expiration this Friday. Generally speaking, when you have an uptrend in the first week or two of the month of expirations, it generally carries forward. But what's really inspiring the market to move higher? Well, it's twofold. One, talk of an interest rate cut. And then, of course, this morning we heard from the chief of the ECB, Mario Draghi, who basically paved the way for new stimulants. And so we're hearing about new stimulants out of China, now out of the EU, and, of course, expectations for a rate cut here in the States. So basically, lower rates, cheaper money. Obviously, if rates are going lower to give the global economy a boost, it's one thing. If they're going lower because we're headed for recession, that's another thing. So I think we're going to stick to the first analysis of rates going lower to sustain the economy and to halt the global economy from weakening further. So that would be positive for equities.
Yeah, President Trump this morning tweeted out, quote, Mario Draghi just announced more stimulus could come, which immediately dropped the euro against the dollar, making it unfairly easier for them to compete against the USA. They have been getting away with this for years, along with China and others. What do you make of that?
Well, what he is implying is that he wants the Federal Reserve to do the same thing. But if the Federal Reserve does the same thing, we're still going to get stuck with a strong dollar. And a strong dollar, yes, is bad for manufacturing, but it also contains inflation. And so that is imported inflation. And so, you know, you really can't have it both ways. And a strong dollar can also mean that you have a strong economy, obviously, right? But I think if he really wants to get the dollar down, what he needs to do is to come up with a solution to this trade war. End the trade war, and the dollar weakens.
Peter, when we look at the Federal Reserve then, especially in comparison to the European Union Central Bank, the ECB is one that has kept rates phenomenally low in negative territory for one of them, right? I think, but the Fed here in the U.S. has been trying at least to bring back some semblance of what many call normalcy. That is to say, to bring rates back in a little closer to something that they've been historically, as well as, of course, being able to wind down the balance sheet, although they've essentially stopped that or on the road to stopping the wind down at about $4 trillion now. Compare to us, if you will, Fed versus ECB policy up to this point, and where you see things headed for each.
Well, look, the reason why the ECB has kept low rates and now probably going to do more stimulus is because the EU never got off to a strong start. And there were only two countries within the EU, well, I shouldn't say only two, but there were several countries within the EU that actually did quite nicely and benefit from the single currency. And they were Germany, France, and the Scandinavian countries. The other southern countries, southern European countries, and the weaker ones like Poland some of the eastern countries that belong to the EU did very poorly. And so, it's a very tough game for the ECB to keep this diversity of nations all growing at a respectable level. And so it's totally different. Here in the States, you know, the Federal Reserve did the right thing. We were growing at 3%. So they had to make sure that inflation would not reignite. Unfortunately, you know, inflation has been kept low. And I would kind of think, like I've been scratching my head, I'm sure the Federal Reserve members have been scratching their heads. You know, we say there's no inflation. Obviously, no inflation is in terms of certain products. But if you go to the grocery store, you know, that's a different story. And then with this with the tariffs that were implemented, you know, where some of those products are carrying an extra tax, which is inflationary. So the Fed needs to protect themselves.
Sure.
Well, and they did.
Well, let me ask you, just yesterday we reported in the program about the Empire State Manufacturing Index coming in and having plummeted 26.4 points to negative 8.6 in June, according to the New York Fed yesterday. That's a record decline, with economists having expected a reading of a positive 10. Now, you're talking about consumer products there, but we've also seen inflation that has been going on in terms of intermediate goods, that is to say, the inputs that are put into manufactured products here in the United States have in many cases been going up in price as a result of the tariffs, hampering manufacturing quite clearly, as this index is showing.
Yeah, sure. Look, I you know, that was a big drop. There's no question about it. But I wouldn't get too overly excited about that, because it's, you know, New York State, the Empire State. Let's see what happens when we get the national index, the Chicago National Index out, and what that looks. Now, if that were to happen there, then yes, of course, you know, there's your answer. The tariffs are finally, you know, beginning to weaken domestic activity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to talk to you about the Federal Reserve then, given this and given some of the slowing of the economy, at least in terms of its advancement. I don't think that we're on a recession path, at least not yet. I still think there's some robustness in this economy. I think so much of it depends, Peter Cardillo, on what happens with the trade war with China, and particularly next week when President Trump sits down with Xi Jinping. But I am not a believer at all that the Federal Reserve can just swoop in and save the economy.
Well, as I said before, if they do, first of all, I don't think they're going to lower rates tomorrow. They will have a debate about it. They will open the path to lower rates, and I think that we're looking perhaps sometime in September, not even in July or in July. So if the market is going up because they expect interest rates to be cut tomorrow, I think that's going to be a disappointment. But I think the fact that they talk about it and the fact that they don't rush into it would be a good sign, because that would be an indication, yes, we're doing it because the economy is slowing, but we're not doing it because the economy is headed for recession. If they were to cut rates tomorrow, I think perception out there would mean that, 2020 would be a recessionary year. And I don't see that just yet. I agree with you that there is still some substance to the economy, that we can avoid it. But I also think it's necessary that this trade war comes to an end.
Yes.
That I do believe. And if I'm wrong about some sort of a cosmetic deal happening by the end of the week, or by the end of the month, rather, and he should slap another $300 billion tariffs on Mexican goods, then my thoughts would be immediately that we are headed for recession.
Yeah. Well, and we may well be at that point, but Peter Cardillo, I would say this, and that is that when it comes to next week's meeting, you know, Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, over the weekend, I think in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, suggested that, you know, don't have your expectations too high with the meeting of President Trump and Xi Jinping, but what you can probably reasonably expect is that they will come out of the meeting saying, okay, tensions are down. We're not going to add any new tariffs. We're rebooting the negotiations and getting them up and running again. And maybe they'll have made some meaningful progress on some issues. But at most, what you'll really get is the two presidents saying we're resuming talks and we're not going to ratchet things up anymore. I've tended to think that that's the case. More likely.
Exactly. That's the cosmetic deal that I'm talking about.
Okay. See, when I think of cosmetic deal, I've been saying cosmetic deal where they get some purchases of goods and a few different things, and it's not a major change in the end.
That could be included, but nothing major.
Yeah.
Nothing major.
But that's just an agreement to talk more.
I think that, you know, any more tariffs slapped on China is going to be devastating for the global economy.
Peter Cardillo, again, our guest from Spartan Capital. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in the bond market right now. I'm seeing the 10-year yield at 2.03%. That is down right now. Two-year yield, 1.815%. 3-month is up a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we're at levels now. I think the last time we spoke, maybe not the last time, but the time before that, yields were around 2%. The 10-year was around 2.22, and I said we still have about another 15 or 20 basis points that would suggest just, you know, that the rate is opening up the door or will cut rates and not necessarily recession. But guess what? We're at levels now that if this continues, then the market is no longer predicting the rate cut, but is predicting several rate cuts and recession not far away.
What about oil? I've been struck by how it's at $52.26 a barrel right now for WTI crude. In the wake of last week's apparent oil tanker attacks from Iran onto a couple of oil tankers run by a Japanese company, I'm wondering about why we're not seeing oil prices spike higher than they have.
Yes, well, the reason is this. If we didn't have soft demand and we didn't have the worries that the global economy is continuing to soften and that possibly we could be headed for, you know, a soft landing, the price of oil based on the geopolitical problems would now be close to $75, $85 a barrel. So what we have here is, yes, the price is not collapsing under $50, but it's not moving much higher because of the demand. The supply and demand factor, and obviously supplies are plentiful. And you also have the fact that next month shale oil is probably going to produce 75,000 more barrels per day than was previously thought. And so there's your there is your supply factor. But if you read the headlines, you'll see that Saudi Arabia is pushing for cuts by non-compliant members, and that could total about 400 to 450 barrels per day. Again, that news, based on coupled with the geopolitical situation, should have prices up to $60 by now, but that's not happening because of weaker. Weaker global economic activity.
Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at Spartan Capital. Hate to cut you loose, but it's that time. Thanks for joining us as always. Great to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.